Yashkoyach, everybody, for coming. The idea of Pnimius Be'ion suggests delving deeply into something, Be'omek. And at the same time, we're asking ourselves, everything which we do has a certain pneumius to it, has a certain ian to it. And pneumius can connote something deeper. And I guess what we're holding right now is, we know the challenges, I'm sure, which we've had in terms of coming to where we are, in terms of the limudim which we have, which is limudim and chassidus, what it took to get to that point, to be comfortable enough to open up a sefer chassidus. Everybody knows more than I do about themselves, the journey which they've had in order to be able to reach that place, the struggles to overcome, that they felt comfortable and normal and appreciated what it means to hold the sefer of chassidus and to learn that sefer. Alachas kama v'kama when it comes to, let's say, limud ha-kabbalah also. There's a lot of intimidation and trepidation when it comes to the limud ha-kabbalah. One of the reasons for that is because pnimius has a lot to do with tachlis. Whenever a tachlis is involved, there's a lot of menias in order to get to that. The shavish of all this comes from the Torah. That after Adam HaRishon was Choti, as we read in last week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and he put Alat HaCherev HaMisapeches Saviv LeEtzachayim. So Adam HaRishon was in a gan with many, many trees, many different tanugim. And although Adam HaRishon was very great, this was a struggle and it was a confusion. And the Nachash came along and found a way to dupe Chava, to causing the chait, the confusion, a vaiter confusion for Adam HaRishon. So if that Gan Eden was a world, although as beautiful and perfect as it was, that there was able to be some type of a confusion and understanding what the tachlis is, how much more so after the chait that the Torah writes explicitly that there's a lahat hacher from mispeches saviv to the Eitz HaChaim. That it wasn't clear to Adam HaRishon that the Eitz HaChaim was the tachlis of the Gan. In Tikkuni Zohar and Tikkun Samech Vav, Reb Shimon writes about, he says, vai, vai to those who don't know that the secret of life is the Eitz HaChaim. And they become confused and they lack the understanding as how to approach and how to come to the Eitz HaChaim. Little do they know that even the Eitz HaChaim is the tachlis, but this, the whole mahalich and the derech to get to the Eitz HaChaim is one big confusion. So there are many manias when it comes to arriving at the conclusion that a person wants to have a shaychas to the Eitz HaChaim, and how to walk and to circumvent and to avoid all the manias which come along, which coming, in coming to the Eitz HaChaim. Now, if a person has come to a place where he's shomer Torah and mitzvahs, he's already in the world of the Gan. He's already in Gan Eden. He has a shayches to the Chaim. The whole Gan was permeated with the light and the presence of the Eitz HaChaim. The mere fact that a person has shayches to the Niglas HaTorah, that he has a cheshek, and he learns halacha, and he's shomer Torah and mitzvahs, and he's in the Gan, and he has a special pass, and he's from the Bnei Heichala of Hashem Yisparach. But then there are those who are on the journey, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on this journey, and there are those who really want to be a part of this journey, that although they're in the Eitz, they're in the Gan itself, in that Gan Eden, what it means to be a Yid means to be in Gan Eden. It's the most beautiful, amazing life to be a Jew. Not just for what it offers in the next world, but in this world too. What it means to put on tefillin and talis every single day. And of course, a lot of Pnimius HaTorah comes to bring out a certain appreciation of what that is. But even after being in the Gan, there are those who are searching to have a shaychis to the Eitz HaChaim, to the secret of life, and to know the secret of life. So of course, just being a Jew and being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, we have one foot in the door. But there are those who want to walk the journey to come to the Eitz HaChaim and to eat from the fruits of the Eitz HaChaim. But of course, like we explained, that there's a lot of Chev HaMitzvah Peches, there are many Menias involved in that. How to know how to walk down that Derech and know how to get there. And for that, we come to Pnimius, and we come to Pnimius B'Iyon. Because even in the world of Pnimius HaTorah, if a person, let's say, learns Sifri Chassidus, or if he learns Nefesh HaChaim, whatever it is, there's a way to learn Pnimius HaTorah where one is walking down a Derech to the Eitz HaChaim, and there's a way to learn it where a person is just sampling from it, but not really walking down a Derech which has a Tachlis to it. So therefore, a person can open up and have been exposed, let's say, to a shir or to a sefer, and to learn that sefer. But is there a mahalich in that? Is a person just sampling and just tasting vartlich here and there? And then he gets some type of a geshmak, and it brings a certain fulfillment and a richness to today's avodah, or to share something nice at the Shabbos table, and he has a taste of something sweet? Or does that sweetness which he's tasting, does he see that as an invitation to know that there's something which is much deeper? That if a person will just follow this taste a little bit, or to follow the smell, to follow the aroma, that as he follows that aroma, he walks down a derech which brings him to something which is more tasteful. That he's not just taking samplings, that it's not just appetizers, and he's not just a whole thing about appetizers his whole life. That he's going from that appetizer to a main course, and from a main course to a dessert, that there's a mahalach in that achila. And so the Eitz HaChaim was considered to be like the tachlis of all the achilas of the Gan. Had Adam Rishon ate them properly with a mahalach, with a derech, he would have tasted this fruit, and then that fruit, and one pre would have led to another pre, and then he would have come to the main course, which is the Eitz HaChaim. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that he should be satiated, he should eat from the Eitz HaChaim. And then after that, he would have been given rishus to eat from the Eitz HaDas, which would have been like the dessert, the cherry on top of all the chachmas would have been the Eitz HaDas Tavira. But there was a seder in Halicha here to partake from all the Eitz HaGan, like Hashem says, Mikol Eitz HaGan Achol Tochel, from which he should have understood, had he eaten a little bit of them, to have Shaiches of the Eitz HaChaim, and then eat from the Eitz HaDas. But of course, the mistake which he made, which many of us are guilty of, many aspects of life, that he went straight for the tachlis. I mean, he went straight for the Eitz HaDas. He couldn't wait. He didn't want to follow the seder, the misgeres of how to get to the Eitz HaDas, which would have been like the tachlis, not the real tachlis, just the cherry on top of the tachlis, but the real tachlis is the Eitz HaChaim itself. Like Hashem says, Re'ei nesati b'fanecha es HaChaim v'satov es HaMoves v'sara, and Hashem says, what? U'bacharta b'chaim. U'bacharta b'chaim. The formula of the Eitz HaGan to eat from the Eitz HaChaim has not changed. It didn't change from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis to the giving of the Torah, and it hasn't changed 3,000 years later, it hasn't changed either. But there's still the same miskeres, still the same mahalich, which the sample, and that sampling is supposed to bring a person towards the Ikra Achila, which is from the Eitz HaChaim, and from the Eitz HaChaim, to have a shaychis to the Eitz HaDas Tovara in a way where it's just an Eitz HaDas Tov, like it'll be lost to love him. But a person can't have a hasaga of the Eitz HaDas Tovara if he hasn't yet eaten from the Eitz HaChaim. So Pnimius HaTorah, of course, the Ari called his sefer the Eitz HaChaim, and he called it the pre-Eitz HaChaim, which means that it has a shaychis to the Tachlis. Has a shaychis to the Tachlis. That's Hakdama Aleph. And there's more Hakdamas to be mentioned, which Hashem will want to discuss. I don't know if it's shaykh to do it all in one sitting, but already you have at least the first shah of the sefer, which we're going to be doing, which will have in itself a small introduction to Mitzvah Hashem. But this is something which, everything which is of special importance and needs a hakdama. And really everything is hakdama. It's like Rabbi Nachman said, all of my Torahs are hakdamas. When a person especially is engaging in Pnimius HaTorah, there's so many hakdamas upon hakdamas. So although I had a half a minute to jump straight into the limud, I think that these hakdamas are going to be important because it's going to create an atmosphere and an environment to properly place this limud. And in fact, a lot of chassidus, as we'll come to understand in Mitzvah Hashem, is based upon the understandings of many of the yesodos in Kabbalah. And it gives it a framework. Chassidus comes to give a framework, an understanding, and a tachlis to the limud HaKabbalah. All the tzaddikim, HaKadoshim, all the heiliga tzaddikim, they were all yoidei soid. They were all giants And real mekubalim, when we speak about mekubalim, you know, we think that we have our understanding of a mekubal as somebody who, if you peered through his window in the night, you'd see a candle, and he'd probably maybe be wearing tefillin at midnight, right? Even though it's not as man tefillin, obviously, but with his talis shaped over his head, and with his feet, you know, also in the mikveh at the same time with his lulav, this is what we think that a mekubal is. We've been thought and trained to think that this is somebody who really has a shayfus to the tachlis of the world. We wouldn't expect that a tzaddik who walks around looking like everybody else, you know, with a black beard, you know, it doesn't have to even a white beard, that he has a shaykh, that this is somebody who the whole world is totally on such a person. We have to dispel a lot of the misconceptions, which are, again, all menias, because whenever there's a tachlis, there's big, big menias when it comes to a tachlis. These were people, and there are still people like that you can pass them by on the streets and you wouldn't even know. These are people who have a shaykhis to the tachlis. They look like you and I, and they talk the same language like you and I, but yet they have a shaykhis to the real pneumias, whereas other people who claim, who think that they're learning the pneumias, that they really have no shaykhis to pneumias whatsoever. They have no shaykhis to pneumias whatsoever. Pneumias has a pneumias too. There's the chitzonius of the pneumias, there's the pneumias of the pneumias. Just like in the world of chitzonius, there's the pneumias to the chitzonius, and there's chitzonius to the chitzonius. And this is a shprach which is very much used, especially in the works of the Arizal and especially in the Rashash. Chitzonius to Pnimius, Pnimius to Chitzonius, Pnimius to Pnimius. And this is all relevant al pi avoda also. Because a real makubal, a real somebody who has a shaykhis to the Pnimius, depends on his hasaga of the Oros, which we'll come to explain a little bit in Mitzvah Hashem. Like, we can sit here, we can open up an Arizal and we can talk about it, we can learn about it, but we would not claim to be Mekubalim because we're learning the Arizal. Right, would you say that the centers of Kabbalah in Los Angeles, these are places where they're authentic Mekubalim? Right, a person who's learning Shas and Poskin is more Mekubal than a person who's learning the Arizal in a Kabbalah center. Because as we'll come to explain in Mitzvah Hashem, that there are certain Tanaim, that if a person has those Tanaim, then he has an entrance into the world of Pnimius. But if he doesn't have those Tanaim, then forever, forever, he's Bachutz. So in Kabbalah centers, they're forever, forever Bachutz. They're very, very, very Bachutz. Because although they may be learning the Limudim, they have no entrance into it. There's no pass. You need a pass to enter in. Just like Rav Shimon and the Chavraya, there was a snake which was guarding the Pesach to the Ma'arah to get in. Right? So too, forever, there's a Nachash which is standing, protecting the entranceway, the La Tachev and Mitzah Peches, which is supposed to be a lock on the door, which allows entry to those who are Zeichet to enter into it, and to put a hand up and to say, for you it's not Shach to come in. Everybody comes in according to the Shir, which they're making themselves, according to the Havanas and the Tnaim of these Hachanas and these Tnaim and Hakdamas, which we'll come to understand in Mitzah Hashem, which allow us in. Now, this is not a disclaimer and a hakdama that suggesting that we're entering Limud HaKavala. This is not what this is about. That's not what Pnimius Be'im is suggesting. However, a lot of Hasidus is built upon the Yesodus of Kabbalah. And as we go through the Sefer Sif Seichen, what he does very beautifully is that he extracts many of the Yesodus, which the Tzaddikim were familiar with, which they were Zeichet to understand, and it makes it available to us in a systematic way without having to enter into the works of the Arizal himself, but how that reveals itself and suggests itself al pi limud hachasidus. That's one of the beautiful things about the limud which we're going to embark on in Mitzvah Hashem, is the idea of being able to study the yesodas of Kabbalah from which chasidus was built upon, but in a miskeres of chasidus. Because Kabbalah and chasidus, although there's an interplay between the two, which we'll come to explain in Mitzvah Hashem as well, it becomes very clear from the Lashonos which you use, whether or not you're learning Chassidus or Kabbalah. So we can learn one Inyan, and you can learn it al-Pi Kabbalah or al-Pi Chassidus. If we wanted to learn it al-Pi Chassidus, we would use Lashonos like the Zeranpin, and the Nukva, and the Shanahirin, and the Arachanpin, and the Chakot Tapuch and Kadishin, and we would refer to mitzvahs in different ways, and we would speak about all different types of the Lashonos, which would suggest that this is not a limud of Chassid, this is a limud of Kabbalah. However, that's not, as we'll see, that's not the Shprach which we're going to use. We're not learning using the Lashonos like that, because it's not a study of Kabbalah. However, it's using the same Tochen, but from the perspective of Chassidus. By no means will the study of the Sefer of Sifsei Chen come as well to replace the limud of the Sfarim HaKdoshim. That there's the limud of the Sfarim HaKdoshim and there's a limud of Sifsei Chen. For example, if you learn HaKdushas Levi and you learn Amar Einayim or from the Magid or even from the Hayntekut Tzadikim or from the previous generation, they didn't find it necessary to present to us the limud and the Seder and the Tzura of what the Arizal speaks about in a systematic form. That's not what they were here to do. We'll have to explain why that is. But you can't open up a Kedushas Levi and see what you'll find in Sefsei Chen, which is going to be an understanding of the Yesodos of the Arizal pi Chasidus. That wasn't their goal. They weren't interested in giving over Yesodos of Kabbalah. Even in the framework of Chasidus, that's not what they were interested in. And we'll have to explain why that is. Why did it take a Sifsei Chen so many years later to come and to give us a proper misgeres al pi chasidus of what the yesodos of Kabbalah are about, what the great tzaddikim understood and what they knew? Why didn't they find that necessary? Of course, that's all part of the avodah in this generation, which is very much to come to be malakit. This is very much a door which is to be malakit, to be malakit, which in itself is a gevaldik chachma, to be able to extract and to pull out for the tachlis of growth, of course, certain yesodos, to allow us to better understand the derech in Avodas Hashem. Well, let's come to understanding Mit Hashem, why it is that the tzaddikim, that they didn't find that necessary. That the Baal Shem Tov didn't come and he didn't teach Yisodos of the Arizal. Even just the basic Yisodos, without even bringing it to an oven of Kabbalah. Why not? Why didn't they do that? So let's come to explain a little bit to Mit Hashem for the next 20 minutes or so. What we can be marviach from Sifsei Chen, from understanding these things, and the difference and the interplay between Chassidus and Kabbalah. Kabbalah is called, it calls itself, the Chachmas HaEmes. Whenever the Ramban wants to teach something a little bit deeper than the Pshat, he'll call it Alderech HaEmes. The fact that this word Emes has been chosen to teach Pnimius HaTorah is telling us that the Pnimius has a Shaychis to Emes. And although even Chitzonius has an Emes to it as well, but as you become more Pnimi, you become Shaych more and more to the union of Emes. Because Emes has an amazing, an endless depth to it. Even the Gemara has a lesson called Emes Lamito. Rabbi Pinchas Karzer writes that there are, that as many emeses as there are, is gematria emes. There are 441 emeses. Like Moshe Binu, when he wants for his basin that Yisro suggested, Yisro says, Anshe emes, people of emes, Yirei Elokim. I'll just mention Aga because it has Shaykh is what we'll be talking about later. Rabbi Pinchas Karzer says, you see from here, you could be an Ish emes and not be a Yirei Elokim. Because he asked for two things, Anshe emes, Yirei Elokim. So therefore, Emes suggests and it implies to understand a more pinious understanding as a shaykhis to the Indian of Emes. A person who's a mavakish, the Indian of being a mavakish means that a person wants to know the Emes. We speak a lot about people who are mavakshim. So a person who could be a mavakish, he could be mavakish Hashem, which is the ultimate bikush. Then there are people who are mavakshim, not to say that they want to know Hashem is Barach, but they want to know the Emes. They want to know the Emes. And the Emes has to do with questions, real questions, which is like who, what, why. Things which cause a person to think that there's a puzzle in front of him and he wants to unlock the puzzle. To decipher, to explore, but to explore in a way that a person is not just going Mizrach Lamarev, he's not going from right to left. This is vertically or horizontally? I always forget. Horizontally. But vertically, which means to also go up and down. So for example, man has a natural cheshik to be a mavakish. Not even a yid, just tam. people have a cheshik to be mevakish. There's a natural cheshik that a person has to come to want to know and to understand. What propels a person to have to want to be a scientist, or to be a historian, or to be an astronaut, or to be a doctor? Not just the parnasa aspect involved. The person has also a natural cheshik to want to live and to exist. He thinks about his future and how he's going to survive. And that's, of course, ikar. But how a person comes to choose what he wants to do, how he wants to explore, that's, of course, according to each person's own personal tchunas and nefesh. But it's motivated by a natural desire that a person has to want to ask real questions and to get real answers. Like who, what, and why. The history of the world. To explore the science of the world. Medicine to understand the human body and how to help it. To explore space and the universes and beyond. And that would be considered, in our Lashon, an understanding to have pinyus, to know pinyus, but a chitzonius world. Because after all is said and done, this world which we see in front of us is just a kolshu and a fraction and almost a mere image. It's called the Olam HaSheker of the truth. So a person can think that he wants to do something really, really great for this world and be a real maven and to know he's going to delve into science, into medicine, and he's going to have a real understanding of the human body. And forever and ever, he was only in the world of chitzonius. He was in the pinyus of chitzonius, and even that pinyus was mamash, just a little kolshu. It was just a tiny drop. And the more that a person comes to understand the human body and the world, the more he begins to realize that there's no end to this chachma. He starts to realize how little he is. And that's going to be very important yisod when it comes to learning pinyus hatar. Very much, therefore, the inyan of pinyus, again, not in Kabbalah, see this too, is to ask the real questions of who, what, and why, but in a pinyustic way. That's called pinyus be'iyan, that's called pinyus de pinyus. The person asks because he has somewhat of an understanding. He understands that there's a Borei Olam. Doesn't have to open up a Zayar Kaddish to see that there's a Borei Olam in this world. Doesn't even have to open up the Torah. If his eyes are wide enough, he's able to look at this world and it's Pashat that there's a Borei in this world. It's not just happenstance that a person can pick a red pepper from the ground and put it into his mouth and it gives him life. It should kill him. Why does it make any sense that if you put anything into your body that it shouldn't kill you? It should clog up all the arteries. The fact that it digests itself and gives a person life, these are mamish nisim haflav avela. If he took the water bottle and put it in his, shoved it down his throat, it would kill him. Yet he can take a carrot from the ground, chew it, and it goes into his body and it nourishes him. This is mamish a pliyatuma. The fact that he has eyes to see, what is that? What is sight? How do these round things in my head cause me to see something? That I have feet to walk, who allows that to happen? You could stand up straight and not fall down. You have to be a scientist to be a maimon. You have to just be a human being. You have to just have a brain in your head to be a maimon. Of course there's a Borei Olam here. If you have the Torah, you become to understand a little bit more. And the pnimius to pnimius is a lot more. So pnimius suggests coming more and more closer to the nekuda pnimi, which is the emes. That's why it's called Chachmas HaEmes. And the questions of who, what, and why, it gives us real-time answers to those questions. Today. It's not just a study of history, as we'll come to see, which has no relevance. There are people who study history because they're following patterns of the world to be able to predict and to understand the now. If we're going to study the history, like we do in the Torah, of course, nobody who's in Ish Pnimi learns the sugyas of Avraham Avinu, which we're going to discuss, just to want to know, like a historian, what happened in the life of Avraham Avinu. Being an ish pnimi, of course, means how to make a lemaisa to me. What does Avram teach me about myself? What does he teach me about the history of the world, the future of the world? So Chachmas HaEmes is going to teach a person answers to real questions, which is the who, what, and the why. And I'm sorry if this is like a little bit, you keep trying to think of yourself, just get into the who, what, and why. But it needs a little bit of akdama to appreciate the who, what, and why. We're going to discuss it a little bit now. For example, the history. We can discuss Abraham Lincoln and George Washington in a chitzonius way. That would be very much chitzonius to chitzonius. We can discuss Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, which is discussed much more pnimius. We can go even before that, where history and chitzonius can't even touch. And they only call it, because the lack of understanding, they'll call it evolution, which is of course just one big facade in a heresy, in a kfira, because they don't have shaykhis to the premise of what came before. What came before. So they have to come up with some type of an excuse to run away from the amunah, which is staring them in the face. They could be totally on some type of a theory which makes no sense whatsoever, but as an excuse to be able to live life without having to confront real questions of Bikush of the Emes, which is being motivated by the fact that a person is a human being, he's motivated to ask real questions and to be a Mavakesh. But to create a facade and to say, okay, this is the answer to that, just please don't touch that, don't bring it up, we'll just make it as some type of a really good excuse, and everybody knows it's just an excuse, just to allow us to not be able to be guilty in the living in the now and to eating today because you're going and enjoying today because you're going to die tomorrow. But there's some people that as they start to explore that area and to stick their hands into it and to kind of feel around, and they're like, this is just ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense. I'm staring at the MS everywhere I go. I'm staring at an MS, which is a hachash of that. The whole world is a thousand Aden, which is machish. This is some ridiculous theory of evolution. So if a person wants to explore that area, the beginnings of the world, the primus of the world, what you brought to be a Sa'ilam, the real history. So you're not going to find that in Shas and Poskim. It's not going to be in Shas and Poskim. And it's not just a limud which is just lashav and has no relevance whatsoever. It has tremendous, tremendous relevance. And of course, the Zohar HaKadosh, which is the Shoresh of all primus, and the Arizal coming to expand upon, and the Tzaddikim afterwards, they unlocked the history of the world in a way which is mamish relevant to us. Because then that history brings out questions about the Tachlis HaOlam. What does Hashem Yisbarach want? Who is Hashem Yisbarach? What does it mean to be a Jew? How does Yisrael have a shaykhis to that tachlis? So going back all the way to the history, to the depths and to the shorish of that history, is megalul the tachlis also. Like we say all the time, soif ma'isa b'machshava t'chila. An understanding of the machshava t'chila gives us an understanding of where everything is going. What's the tachlis of all this? What is the soif ma'isa of this machshava t'chila? And as we'll see, as we start to do the limudim, mitzvah Hashem, the initial creation of the world, which is the shvira of Allah Birat Sinai, the Olam HaTikun, what does it mean, Tikun? All these sugyas which have to do with the havamin of the maskana of what Hashem Yisrach wants in this world are all revealed in the Pnimi Satayra. But again, not just that it's available for everybody to understand. The person has to be an Ish Pnimi to understand the Pnimi Satayra. The who, what's, and the whys. What am I? What am I al pi emes? Am I just flesh and blood? Or do I have a neshama to it? You can go through a whole shas. And although, of course, there are sprinklings of pnimius throughout all of shas, and shas is very rich in pnimius, but you can be a Talmudist who understands the Talmud and not have any shaykhis whatsoever to the Indian of neshama and who a Jew is. They're very big Talmid Chacham who have no shaykhis to what it means to be a Nishnashama. And therefore it's questionable about Pipnimius if by definition, are they really Talmid Chacham? And Pipnimius has a whole different understanding of what it means to be a Talmid Chacham. Not somebody who knows Shas and Poskim. When I say Talmid Chacham, I'll Pipnimius. What am I? Who am I? What is Hashem Yisbarach? Who is Hashem Yisbarach? Real questions. Real questions. You can go through a whole shas and not know Hashem Yisbarach, really. So in that way, Pnimius HaTorah, and that's why it has a shaychus to the tachlis, like we spoke about before, shaychus to the Eitz HaChaim. But a person can be living in a pnimistic world, but be in the chitzonius of that pnimius. But a person who's mavakish, and it's not sufficient for him, and of course these are not two separate worlds, chitzonius and pnimius are all one part of a world of avodas Hashem and being a Jew. But the real question, which a person who is a mavakish, that he's looking to go weiter. He wants to know, who is Hashem Yisbarach? What is Hashem Yisbarach? What does he want? Why does he want it? Who am I? What does Hashem want from me? These are questions that a person can live his whole life as an ish halacha and as a good Jew. Shomer Torah mitzvahs. He's a shas Jew, that he's a shulchan aruch tikkun Jew. But at the same time, so much of that richness, of that tachlis, of that pnimius, is hidden from him. And he's missing out on the Olam Haba of Olam Hazeh. That a person could put on talis and tefillin, and he could be very happy with the fact that he's keeping the halacha, which is a beautiful thing, and have an appreciation of that. But to live in the Olam Haba of that talis, the Olam Haba of that tzitzis, the Olam Haba of a mezuzah, to shake a lulav and to know, like, not just to know exactly how to shake it, right? To follow the halacha of how to shake, but the why of the shake, but the what of the shake. Pshimius opens up that world. It puts a smile on a Jew's face, and it puts a smile on his heart, and it brings it so much of the simcha in Avodas Hashem, which is not necessarily the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But if we know that the whole teicha, the Torah came about tachas hashulei avadatas Hashem v'lachecha besimcha v'tuv leivav, which the Rambam has a whole halacha on that in his Yad HaChazaka. That this is the tachas of everything, is to serve Hashem Yisroch besimcha. And so much of that simcha comes from that emes. Comes from that emes, the understanding of that emes, the richness of that emes, the yashiris which comes from understanding that. So your hearts go into the next hakdama, because it's more lengthy and it will require a shir in and of itself. I'm trying to think just in the next 10 minutes of what we have and what we can share about it a little bit, just to give us a shaychus to it. Maybe just a small hakdama to the next hakdama and the relationship between Chassidus and Kabbalah. Now, as we said before, that many of the Yesodos of Chassidus are based upon principles in Kabbalah, yet the masters of Chassidus, they didn't necessarily teach Kabbalah. They refrained, many of them, from teaching Kabbalah, and they taught Chassidus. So to try to understand the relationship between Chassidus and Kabbalah, yet to have a whole Chachmas HaChassidus without bringing any of the Kabbalah in, is a discussion. One way to explain the difference between them is to say that we know that there are pratim and there's klalim. There's details and then there's the broader understanding. Klal uprat. It's shaykh to say that Chassidus has a lot to do with the klal and Kabbalah has a lot to do with pratim. Has a lot to do with pratim. What do we mean by that? A Jew, if he would open up a Sefer HaZohar or a Sefer HaRizal, he would be overwhelmed with many, many pratim, many concepts and many, many pratim. Partsufim, Sviros, Sviros upon Sviros, Oilamos, Malachim, Shemus HaMalachim. That as long as, if a person is in the world of halacha, let's say, he's in the Olam HaSiya. Again, if he doesn't know anything about Pshimis, he doesn't even know that he's in the Olam HaSiya. Right? But he's in the Olam HaSiya, and he's following very specific halachas, and he knows exactly where he is. He can put on the map a dot, and he knows exactly what he is and what he needs to do. As soon as he opens up, and of course, there's a lot there too. There's many masechtas in this world, and those masechtas are also part of the Pshimis as well. As soon as a person enters into the world of Pnimis HaTorah, if he opens up a Sefer Arizal or a Sefer Kabbalah, he's confronted by an endless amount of Chadarim and Olamos and Shemos and Sfiros, and for many people it's very overwhelming. And what many people do is that they'll close the door and they'll turn around and they'll walk out. It's very easy just to sample from the pre on the outside, stay on the outside and just take little bites and to taste a little bit, which is why it's very important that if a person and wants to enter into this door, he's going to become very overwhelmed and fearful unless he has somebody who's going to hold his hand to say, okay, come with me. I'll show you where you need to go. Right? There's many doors. Once he opens up that front door, there's many, many ways he can go. He can go right, he can go right to right, right to right to right, right to left, left, down the middle. So having somebody who's able to hold his hand, and every person who enters into the Olam HaPnimi needs somebody to hold his hand, to be able to show him exactly how to navigate and to go through all the pratim which a person confronts when he opens up that door. It's a Rebbe in the Derech HaLimud. More importantly, it's the Neshama. A Jew's Neshama is really his Mayra Derech in the understanding of the Olam HaPnimi. And again, this goes back to what we spoke about a little bit before. I'm so sorry if this is a little bit confusing and it seems all over the place. In my head, there is some type of a mahalach. But the neshama is the most important thing in a person's life, in his avodas Hashem, in understanding who he is, and understanding Pnimiyus HaTorah. Even more than his Rebbe. A Rebbe is a person's shliach of his neshama, to understand Pnimiyus HaTorah. Everybody who has a shayches to Pnimiyus HaTorah has to have a Rebbe. It's either that he has a flesh and blood Rebbe, or he has a neshama, which is his Rebbe. And of the ikker of the two, the neshama is the ikker Rebbe. And in fact, the Rebbe of the Talmud only sees himself as a tool to help the Talmud, but more importantly, as a tool to help the Talmud bring out his real Rebbe, which is his neshama, which is his chelek al kamimah, which is Hashem Yisbarach himself. So therefore, if a person is trying to learn Pnimiyus HaTorah and he doesn't have a shaykhis to his neshama, he doesn't know that he's a neshama, or he has no shaykhis to the concept of neshama or to Pnimiyus, then he's just walking in choyshech. Mamash walking in choyshech. And then he needs a really good shliach from Hashem, which is called a Rebbe, which is really also just a hakdama to bring him in. And the Rebbe sees himself as an emissary and as a shliach of that neshama to reveal to a person that he has a neshama, which will be forever his Rebbe. To lead him down the road of understanding Pnimiyus HaTorah. Getting back to what we spoke about before, that as soon as a person opens up that door and he's confronted with pratim al alfe alfe rivavos pratim, a person go crazy from the amount of the shemus hakadoshim and where they go and who they belong to and the shame of this malach and that malach and this oilam and that oilam and the oilam from the oilam within that oilam. Again, that's all part of the la'at hacheref hamistapeches. To see if a person is really serious about entering in and getting to the Eitz HaChaim. So it's safe to say that if a person was learning, let's say, strict Kabbalah, he would be in the world of many, many pratim, because now that he's walking vertically, as opposed to horizontally, so he's opening up new doors which come with new yediyas and new understandings, which can seem very overwhelming at times. Chassidus has a lot to do with the klalim. Has a lot to do with klalim. Klalim on two fronts. Klalim on two fronts. Because the klal is a klal, prat, uklal. There's the klal which brings us to the prat, and then there's the prat which brings us to the klal. The klal is considered to be a hakdama to the prat, and then the prat is considered to be a hakdama and a tachlis to get to a greater klal. So in many ways, Chassidus represents the klal of the klal, prat uklal. Kabbalah is in the middle. That's called the pratim. But you need the klal to get to the prat. And then after you get to the prat, you have to be able to leave that prat and to understand a better picture and a more wholesome understanding of that klal which you had before. So just in the next 3 minutes, just to leave us somewhere to pick up the next time. Chassidus, as it is a klal, in relationship to klal, prat uklal, is the mafteach in the Pesach to get into Kabbalah. And then Kabbalah, and understanding that Kabbalah, is supposed to bring us to a greater understanding of Chassidus. What's the klal of al klalim to get into those pratim? The klal of al klalim is the inyan of emuna and tmimus. Emuna and tmimus. The tachlis of all knowledge is what? Just to be a big chacham? The tachlis of all yediyah is to know shalai neida, they really don't know anything. You really don't know anything. That the Chachma is endless and that Hashem Yisbarach is endless. If a person doesn't know that, if he does not know that, not that he doesn't know that, but he doesn't have a shaykhis to that emunah and to that tmimus, which every single Jew has, then entering into Kabbalah, into the study of the Pratim, will just be one big nefilah. Either a Jew knows instinctively from the Amunah Pshuta and the Amunah Tmimah that every single Jew has been stamped with from Hashem Yisbarach, that Hashem Yisbarach is endless and the Chacham is endless. If he doesn't have a Shaychus to that, then either the door is a closed door or it's an open door, and then he's just going to take one step in and just fall right out. And so therefore, that klal, that understanding, that knowing, that knowledge, or just that instinctive emunah and tmimah that a Jew has before entering into, let's say, Kabbalah, study of Kabbalah, that emunah and tmimah which a Jew has is his license and his pesach to get in. And then when a Jew gets in and he learns the pratim, how now to get out and to strengthen more and more his emunah pshuta and that tmimah. For example, if a person is going to walk into the world of Pnimius as a big chakira, that he's going to make lots of chakiras and delve into the intellectual aspects and so on and so forth and try to break it down, then it's a closed door. Not much a closed door. The entryway, the passport to be able to get into the Olam HaPnimi is according to how much we strengthen the Amunah Pshuta and the Amunah Tmima and the Yesodos which we know in Amunah, that Hashem Yisbarach is endless, and our basic understandings of Hashem Yisbarach, that He's mamish, mamish, Ein Sof. And that the Chachma is Ein Sof, that Hashem Yisbarach is Ein Sof. If a person doesn't have that, if he doesn't have that passport, then everything is closed to him. Then the Pratim of Kabbalah will just be one big confusion, and he's going to be kicked out. He's going to be kicked out. He doesn't have any Shaychus to get into that Eitz Chaim. Have any Shaychus to the Eitz Chaim. So just keep in mind this mahal, we'll come back to this in Mitzvah Shem the next time we get together, this tahalich, this framework called klal prat uklal. Because this is going to be very important. Whereas Kabbalah will be the understanding of all the intricacies of the Chachma, what Hasidus is going to do is going to give us the passport to get in, to truly get in. And then once you're in and you're enmeshed in all those pratim, how to get out and to know how to take the tachlis of everything out of it. What I mean by that is as follows. Let's say a person, he has an Amunah Pshuta, he has the green card, he has that passport, and now he's able to get into the Pnimius of that Chachma. And he's in the world, and he's very excited that he's in. What is he going to walk away with? Is he going to walk away with that now he wants to become a big Bucky in all the Oilamas, and all the Shemas HaKadoshim, and all the Malachim? Is that what he wants to do? Is that called a Bakubal? Somebody who knows how to use certain Shemas and make concoctions of Skulos and so on and so forth and to give it to people and give them Refuas? That's a Bakubal? That's what it means to be an Ishpnimi? If you have that, you have everything. If not, you don't? But Hasidus came along and it said, I'm not taking any of that stuff. What I'm taking out of all this is Tachlis. I'm taking out of all of this the tachlis, and I'm not going to be confused with all that other stuff, which of course is nice stuff. But what am I walking away with? Emunah, bitachon, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem. All the yisoides of what Hashem wants from His Torah. Va'ati Yisrael mashem elokach Hashem kiim liyira. Hashem wants that we should become Yerei Shemayim. Don't you come familiar with all the shemas and all the oilamas? So in a certain way, if a person goes into the world of Kabbalah, let's say, and he's confronted with all these pratim, If he can be distracted. These are all the eitzim in the gan and all the confusion, which could be a distraction for a person. What Hasidus did is that it gave him the klal to get in, and it taught him how to go into those pratim and to walk away with what? Real-time tachlis. How to be a bigger oivet Hashem and avas Hashem and yiras Shemayim and emunah and bitachim, which is why they taught to their Hasidim these yisodos without making them big mekubalim. Because they took the tachlis and they handed it to them on a silver plate. So I went into there to bring this out for you. You have a shaychus now to the tachlis of everything. The Ramchal, for example, was one of the biggest mekubalim. He wrote svarim upon svarim about the chachmas haKabbalah. The biggest hit of the Ramchal of all his svarim is what? Mesilas Yesharim. The kavana kazeh. It's supposed to be that way. Because the Mesilas Yesharim is a handwork.
It's a blueprint for a Jew to be a real Oved Hashem. That's what he wanted. The people should be Oved Hashem. You don't have to be a big Mekubal to understand Mesilas Yesharim. He went through all the Heichalas to bring you the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what he brought. He went into all those elements to bring down the Mesilas Yesharim. Which is why by the Hasidim, for example, they don't learn all the other Sfarim of the Ramchal primarily. They don't learn the Elon, which is his understanding of the whole Sefer of the Eitz HaChaim. But the Mesilas Yesharim is learned. That's the Tachlis. He went through that journey to bring you the Mesilas Yesharim. The Kedusha Slavi went up all the way up and come down to give you the Kedusha Slavi, which is to give you Avin Yiras Hashem. Then ask of you to know all the Olamas. He went to the Olamas to bring this down to you, to bring the Kedusha Slavi to you. Because the Tachlis is what Hashem says in the Torah, to be a Yorei Shamayim. Take a look at the Hakdama of the Ramchal. This is that Misgeres is called Klal Pradu Klal. That Klal, which is using the Tachlis to get into the Prate, but to come out with that Tachlis. Which is to strengthen the emuna, strengthen the bitach, and avos and yiras shemayim. So we'll come back in mitzvah shemayim, we'll finish off this hakdama with one more shir, and then we'll enter in b'siyata shemayim to the sif sichem.